very long, and certainly not, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in succession. And so he called me, he told me, he said, I'm going to do everything I can to be there, but he asked me if I'd sort of be on standby. And so he called me earlier in the week, and he said, if it doesn't look like it's going to happen, then I'll call you on Friday. So that's what he did. He tried and thought, and I appreciate the fact that he at least gave me a couple of days, you know, I mean, so that kind of a deal. So pray for your pastor. I mean, he definitely needs your prayers and your encouragement. Maybe you could send him a letter as well, or a note or something, and encourage him. I don't know what all the issues are that's going on and everything. He told me a little bit about some of it, but so pray for him and encourage him, and you know, give it a shot. Next week, wear your Hawaiian shirt. Who cares, right? Just show up. Had I known, I'd have wore one today myself. I got a whole bunch of them in the closet. If you guys need to borrow one, let me know. I got, you know, we do VBS. I've been doing VBS for 20-something years, and so I know I got Hawaiian shirts and hats and helmets, and I got all the whole thing, and ours starts actually tomorrow evening, so over at our church. And so if you got a young person in the area, a kid that wants to go to another one or go to again or do something, then come on over, and we're doing that starting tomorrow night somewhere in the evening hours. I can't remember exactly. Yep, my wife knows the times. You know, that's the way it is with us guys. We know nothing. We just do what we're told, and so that's the way that works. I am glad you're here this morning, and let me just tell you, you're probably looking at the title up there and then the title on your page that was handed out to you, and they don't match, but I'll explain that here in a moment. I began to think about a Father's Day message a few weeks ago, and some thoughts began to go over and over in my mind, a particular story found in Scripture, and lo and behold, even when I went to just sort of investigated a little bit, I opened up my Bible, and my marker was right at the Scripture text that I needed. So I thought, well, that's a sign from God, so we'll just go with that. And he began to give me some thoughts and things about that as far as a Father's Day message. And I had this message originally entitled, A Father's Fight for His Family. Because you'll understand that when we go through the text here as to how that plays out. But as I began to do some studying on this particular passage, what I find here, and you will too as well, is when you look at it, there are two stories that are intertwined together in our Scripture text in Luke chapter 8. So if you have a copy of Scriptures with you this morning, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 8 and find your place there, then we're going to look at both of these stories. And as I began to go through these two stories, and as they are intertwined and mixed together, I found two phrases, one in each one of the different stories. One is in verse number 48 of Luke chapter 8, and it says, "You are made well because you believed. You are made well because you believed." And then later on, in this same passage of Scripture, but yet in the different story of the two that are intertwined here, in verse number 50, Jesus makes both these statements, by the way, and he says this same type of a phrase. He says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Just believe. So there's that statement again. He made the first one, "You're made well because you believed." And then in the second, in verse 50, he says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And so as I began to think about that a little bit more, this idea of a balance of our beliefs came to my mind. And so that's why there's the other title that you see up there, The Balance of Belief. Now, you guys put this up since I was here last, I think, right? This monitor in the back, that's going to just, boy, I'm going to be looking up there trying to, when's the ball game come on? I'm just, you know, I don't, it's about the size of my TV at my house right there. So I'm just going to be, if I start looking at it too long, just yell at me. That's what my wife does. So just don't, you know, let me stare at it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time this morning. Heavenly Father, what a privilege to be here with these folks, and great church, great ministry, and I pray for their pastor this morning. I pray for Brother Kent. I pray that you would encourage him physically, spiritually, mentally. I pray that you would be with him, be with his family. Lord, help him through this time, this illness, the physicalness, the problems there that he's dealing with and facing. May you be with him and help him to recover quickly. Help him, Lord, to regain his strength. and his balance, and Lord, that you would bless him and bless this church. And Lord, we just want to set aside a few minutes this morning, and we want to ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, it wouldn't be worth the effort to get up in the morning to get dressed, to come here, if we don't meet with you. Lord, we appreciate the fellowship. We love that. We enjoy being able to worship you through song and through our gifts, our love offerings, and our tithes. And Lord, we appreciate all of that aspect of what goes on a Sunday morning. But Father, all of that would truly be a waste. It would just, if it were not for meeting you. And so, God, I pray that you would calm our hearts. I pray that you'd set aside all of the things. It has been a busy week. It's been an exciting week. We've had a lot of things happen, even as late as late last evening. But Lord, help us to set all of those things aside for a few moments. Concentrate on your word and open up our heart to your Holy Spirit that you might speak to us. And so we pray that you would bless the next few moments that we'll spend together. May they be profitable and honorable to you. We pray and ask it in your name. Amen. Well, in Luke chapter 8, as I said, there's two stories here about faith. And in these two stories, what we find is not only stories about faith, but we find how to live out our faith in the midst of everyday situations. And so I want to talk to you, and I'll give you these the answers to the blanks on your sheet there. And the first point there that I want you to notice is an unashamed invitation. An unashamed invitation. Here is the story of, I pronounce it Jairus because I have a son named Darius, but I also may slip and call it Jairus because I know others pronounce it that way. But there's a fellow here, his name is Jairus, and when Jesus gets back to Galilee, look in verse number 40, when Jesus got back to Galilee, a crowd welcomed him. And notice this phrase, because everybody's waiting on him. Jesus has been away, he's been gone, and now there's this whole big crowd of folks waiting on Jesus. So Jesus shows up, and in the midst of this big welcome back, you know, hey, we're glad you're here, we've been waiting on you, we want to see you and everything, he comes back. Look what takes place in verse number 41. It says, a man named Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, okay? So this is a religious leader. This is a guy in position and authority in the area. It says he came to Jesus, and he fell at his feet, begging him to come to his house. And so here is this big scene that's going on. Jesus is being welcomed by all of these people, and all of a sudden this big this religious leader, this big man in the area, a temple head honcho guy, he comes to Jesus and he bows down, he falls down before him, and he begs him. And I want you to understand something here. Jairus, being a leader of the synagogue, probably was not a big fan of Jesus. He was not a part of the big Jesus movement. And so for him to come and beg him and bow down to him and encourage him and just invite him to come to his house was a big deal. It was a big deal. But Jairus didn't care. He wasn't worried about anything other than he just wanted to get Jesus' attention and he wanted him to come to his house. And now when you look at the next verse, you'll find out why. Because it says, Jairus' only daughter, about 12 years old, was dying. Jairus didn't care what his invitation to Jesus looked like. He just needed him. He wanted him. And at this point, things changed in his mind. He was a synagogue leader. His understanding of Jesus at this moment stopped being political and became very practical. He needed him to come to his house because his only daughter was dying. And for some reason, Jairus believed that Jesus could change that fact. He believed that he could do something about his daughter dying. So it was no longer a political issue. It was no longer this big deal of whether or not, you know, this is Jesus, and I'm not sure if I'm a part of the Jesus movement, the Jesus followers and all that. Me being a leader in the temple, me being a leader in the synagogue, me being this high position guy, he said, that doesn't matter. My daughter is sick. My daughter is dying, and I need Jesus. So he didn't care. He no longer cared about his position. He no longer cared about his power. He no longer cared about his prestige. He wasn't worried about what other people were going to think or what they might say. He had no qualms about that. He wanted Jesus to come with him to his house, and he wasn't going to take no for an answer. He just wasn't going to take. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you just were not going to take no? It didn't matter what the situation was. It didn't matter what was going on. Listen, I need you. I need you now. I need you to come to the house. And Jesus, let's go. My daughter's. He didn't care about any of the rest of it. So it was just an unashamed invitation. Jairus humbled himself. He humbled himself for the sake of another, for his daughter. He just didn't care. So it's an unashamed invitation. Let's look at the second thought I find here. And it is an untimely interruption. Jairus is begging Jesus to come. There's this big crowd of people coming around and everything. And so Jesus accepted Jairus' invitation. And it says in the next part of that verse, while Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, the people were crowding all around him. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with this passage of Scripture here. This is a story of a lady who has been bleeding for 12 years. She's been dealing with this issue for 12 long years. And here, get this scene now. Jesus shows up. There's this big crowd. Jairus has come, begs him, falls down at his feet, gets his attention. Jesus and Jairus are now beginning to go to his house together. And now there's this big crowd of folks pushing in around him, and there's this one lady. And her thought is, if I can just get close enough to touch him, if I can just get close enough to touch him, then he's going to turn my whole life around. So there's this untimely interruption in verse number 43. It says, a woman was in the crowd who had been bleeding for 12 years, but no one was able to heal her. Another version, another portion of Scripture says, she spent all of her living. She spent every bit of money she had trying to find a cure. Nobody could help her. Nobody could fix her. Nobody could take and solve her problem. But no one was able to heal her. She came up behind Jesus, and she touched the edge of his coat, and instantly her bleeding was stopped. And then Jesus said, who touched me? Not in a way to his disciples, like, who is that guy that bumped into me? He's on his way to Jairus' house. Jairus is frantic. He's in a panic. It's his daughter. She's dying. They're going along. All of a sudden, Jesus says, wait a minute, who touched me? You talk about an untimely interruption as far as Jairus is concerned. His daughter's dying. He's trying to get to the house. He's trying to get Jesus there. But here, this woman, bleeding for 12 years. No one can heal her. She spent all of her money. She wanted, if you'll notice in the Scripture, she wanted to go unnoticed. Now, how many of us, ladies, how many of you ladies would have this disease going on in your life, would just want everybody in the world to know? Hey, Jesus, I got this problem here, and this is what it is. I need your help. No, she's like, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, very quietly, incognito, is that the right word? Very, very inconspicuous. That's what she wanted, right? She just wanted to walk up and touch. And here's Jesus. Wait a minute. Who touched me? You got her. This lady's reaction has got to be after she's shying back. She's just trying to blend in just to hide. And Jesus wants to know who touched me. And so the lady, she wanted to go unnoticed. She wanted to blend in. If I could just have you, the word, the hem. How many of you know what the hem of a garment is? Most of you ladies probably know. The hem of a garment is just, it's the very edge. It's the outside. It's where they fold the seam underneath just to make it look decent. It's just a very, and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. That's what she wanted to do. And just touch it and then just fade away. Jesus is like, Jesus got an awesome sense of humor, really. He really does. And he's like, who touched me? I know there's hundreds of people around here, but who touched me? Because he knew, see, now this is what the lady thought. Now I can go on my way and I can just fade. Not so. Because when that was the lady, now we look at the Lord. And the Lord says, who touched me? And he says, someone touched me. And the disciples said, Lord, all these people around, how in the world are we going to know who touched you? And he said, what do you mean touched you? And he said, no, listen. Some power, he says, has gone out of me. In another version, it says some virtue, some of his goodness has gone out to heal. He answered the call of faith, and he just, by her touch. And so he says, "Who touched me?" Then the lady responds. She realizes she can't hide. She can't hide. And so it says there in the latter parts, Jesus said, "Someone did touch me because I felt power go from me." And when the woman saw, this is down in verse 47. When the woman saw, when the woman saw that she couldn't hide, she came forward. Look at it, shaking. She fell down before Jesus. And while all of the people, look, she wanted to be just unnoticed. But now look, it says, while all the people are listening, they want to know her story. They want to know what's going on. And so now instead of being, you know, just not even in the public eye, now she's the center of attention. And this disease that she had would have just, I'm sure, been embarrassing for her. But she couldn't hide. She came forward. She fell down before Jesus. She began to confess, the Bible says, to the people. In other words, she told them her story. She gave her testimony. She gave her story as to why she did what she did in just touching Jesus. And she gave her story about what happened when she did. Because she said, when I just touched the hem of his garment, when I just, instantly, she said, I knew I was healed. I knew I was healed. Everything was okay. And then Jesus responds. We're looking at the conversation between the lady and the Lord. And here the Lord, then he responds. And look there at verse number 47 in the latter part there. While all of the people listened, she told why she touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then Jesus responds and says, "Dear woman, you are made well because you believed. Go in peace." And it's so interesting here in this story. Now, I know we've gone through all of this information here, but don't forget about where we're at. Jairus, you know, he's got to be by now. He's way up here like this, and he's going, "Yo, Jesus, remember me? Remember my problem? You started going with me to my house. We're going to go take care of my daughter. What do I care about this scene here with this lady and all these people and everything?" And she didn't want to be known anyway. "Listen, I need you at my house. Hey." And so Jairus is trying to get her to, or get his attention back and to go over there. And so what we see now is an unwanted information. Some unwanted information. In verse number 49, look at it. It says, while Jesus was still speaking. See, he's talking to this lady. He's telling her, you're made whole because you believed. You're healed. You're fixed. You're good. You're good to go. While he's still speaking, a servant comes on the scene and says something to Jairus. And while Jesus is still listening, someone came from the house of the synagogue leader and said to him, "Your daughter is dead." Jairus is like, "Jesus, why in the world did you stop and talk to this lady? She was healed. Nobody needed to know about this. It wasn't a big deal. Why did you do that? Why did you wait? Why did you hesitate?" And so this unwanted information comes into play. "Your daughter's dead." And he follows up and says, don't bother the master anymore. Don't bother the teacher. Nothing can be done. Just let's go. And you realize, in most situations, matter of fact, probably in any other situation, this would have ended the whole thing. Jairus would have said, "Yeah, that's okay, you're right, she's dead. Let's go and start the funeral process and start the mourning. Let's go." But, you know, in any other, at an emergency room, the doctor would come in and say, "I'm sorry, it's too late. You didn't get here in time." That'd be the end of the story. That'd be it. Maybe at a wreck on the side of the road where the EMT gets there and they do all they can and they go, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry, we've done everything we know to do at this point," and they're dead. So that's the end of it. In any other situation, maybe at the bedside of a cancer patient. But I find it very interesting, not here in this story. Not when you're dealing with the great physician. And so, although it's some unwanted information, and they say, "Just Jairus, your daughter's dead, you need to just walk away," it didn't end the story. And I want you to notice what comes next. Jesus, now, He's talking to the lady. He's taking care of that whole thing. He hears the announcement, the unwanted information. He hears all that. This is what, look what he does. In verse number 50, Jesus, he heard this. When Jesus heard this, he says to Jairus, he looks at him and he says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she'll be well." Don't be afraid. Just believe, and your daughter will be well. You want to know the one of those that I think most of us struggle with? The one of those three that he mentions? You see, the truth is, when it comes to believing, when it comes to believing about Jesus, that's really not the hard part. Because Jesus is Jesus. He's the creator of the world, the creator of the universe. I mean, it's not hard to believe that Jesus could change the situation. I mean, he just took a lady that had been bleeding for 12 years, and all she did was simply reach out and touch him, and he healed her. She was healed because of her belief and her faith in him, and his virtue went and healed her. And so, if it was any other situation, then I could say it. But the problem, it's not, this idea of believing, that's not the problem. It's easy to believe when it's Jesus. We can do that. It's Jesus. He can do anything. So that's not... I think the one of these three that give us the most problem is the first one. And I think that's why Jesus said it the way he said it. And he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. See, it's easy to believe in Jesus. The hard part is to not be afraid during and going through the process. Because Jesus... By the way, when you look in Scripture, Jesus, God, angels, you know, almost every time there's a conversation between one of those heavenly beings and someone here on earth, what's the first thing that they start the conversation with? What is it? Don't be afraid, right? Fear not. Fear not. Behold, don't be afraid. You know, and what are we doing? Listen, I believe all of us would be in this exact same boat. If we see Jesus or we see an angel or we hear a voice from God, it's like, dude, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm worried. And the first thing they do is they step in and go, hey, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But isn't that the hard part? Don't be afraid. And so we struggle with that. They knew that this is where we have a problem. So that's why they start with that conversation. See, you and I, we're afraid of the outcome, aren't we? We're afraid. We don't know what's going to happen. So when we're going through a difficult situation, we're going through something that's hard, we don't know what the outcome is, so we're afraid. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know because we're afraid of the process. When you have to go through something, you may even see it coming, but it's like, I know I've got to go through this big, long ordeal in order to get to the other side. You know it's going to be okay because Jesus is in control and it's going to be fine, but it's the process that we're afraid of. It's not knowing what the outcome is. We're afraid of the consequences. Sometimes we're afraid of what others will say. We're afraid of what they're going to do. We're afraid of what people will think. We fear the cost. You know, you get the announcement in the doctor's office, well, I'm sorry, you've got cancer. Oh, well, we know the Lord's going to take care of us one way or the other, because if we die, we go to heaven. Woo, that's a big boy, that's a bad thing, you know? No, that's a good, but it's the process of going through. We don't know what it's going to cost. What's it going to cost me to get rid of this cancer? What's it going to cost me to go through all the treatments? What's it going to cost me in time and effort and energy and money? So we're afraid. So Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We're afraid of the cost. We're afraid of what we're going to, what we might possibly lose. Folks, listen to me. Fear, and that's why I believe with all my heart, that's why Jesus said this to Jairus. He said, don't be afraid. It's the first thing out of his mouth. He said, Jairus, I just heard the bad news. I heard your daughter's dead, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because I'm going to take care of it. But the problem is fear stymies, stunts, all the S words I can think of, stymies, stunts, stalls, sabotages faith. That's what fear does. Fear stalls our faith. It stymies our faith. It weakens our faith. So we're going into a situation, and we need to not fear. Because when we do fear, we don't have the faith that we need to get through it. Fear causes us to doubt, and doubt is the opposite of faith. Fear paralyzes us. And I looked up the definition of paralyzed, and that simply means it makes us unable to function, to act, or to move. And so fear causes us these problems. So it's not the faith part that's the problem. It's not the trusting in God that's the problem. It's the fear part that we have to deal with. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she'll be well. Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she'll be well. And so the next thing we see here is an unusual intervention. Jesus just told Jairus, listen, I know she's dead, but listen, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. And so we see an unusual intervention take place. It says when Jesus went to the house, and I don't know why he did this, guys. You can read it, study it, look at it. If you find the answer, you let me know, all right? I'm not for sure. But Jesus goes to the house, and he led only Peter and John and James. Peter, James, and John, okay? And then the girl's father and mother. So there's those five. And then Jesus is six, and the little girl makes seven. So there's only seven people in this room, okay? I don't know why he did this intervention the way he did it. It's, first of all, there in your outline, it was a small crowd. Just these five folks, and then Jesus and the little girl. And so there's just a small crowd. Jesus put everybody out. Notice in verse, and again, maybe he only let these in because of some belief issues that were going on. I'm not for sure, but that's all he wanted in her. And then I found in verse 52 that Jesus does give some small comfort here. We're going to read another portion of Scripture that maybe I just have a warped sense of humor, but I find this really funny. But when you look in Matthew chapter 9, and you look down at verse number 23, it says, Jesus continued, same story, just a different viewpoint of it. Jesus continued along with the leader, that's Jairus, and he went into his house, and there he saw the funeral musicians and many people crying. So you got to understand, she's been dead long enough, they've gathered up some musicians, you know, and I don't know why they brought musicians in this quickly, but, you know, I don't know, they did. And so there's musicians, they're doing a funeral, I don't know what's going on, they're wailing and crying, and look what it says. And Jesus said, go away. I love that. Jesus is just, go away. He says the girl is not dead. She's only asleep. Well, of course, they thought Jesus is crazy, so they laugh at him. And I love this phrase. It says, after the crowd had been thrown out, Jesus stops fooling around, and he just kicks them all out. Jesus went into the girl's room, and but he cleared house. He said, listen, you guys don't believe she's okay. Remember, don't be afraid, just believe. They didn't believe. And so Jesus says, get out. I only want Peter, James, and John, mom and dad, and me. We're going to go in there. And so that's what it is. So there was a small crowd. But there was some comfort because he says, you know, in verse 52 over there in Luke again, he does say, listen, stop crying. She's not dead. She's only asleep. He's trying to encourage them to just, you know, take some comfort of that. But then he gives a specific call to her in verse 54. He takes her by the hand, and Jesus took hold of her hand, and he called her, and he said, my child, stand up. My child, stand up. So he gives a specific call to her, and you know, Jairus has gone through this whole day. He's humbled himself before Christ, this crowd, all the rest of it, and then this whole thing with this lady, and then the interruption, and then she dies and everything. Well, then it comes all the way down. Now, let me ask any one of you, if you're only daughter, 12 years of age, died, and she was brought back to life by Jesus, would that be something you would want to share with somebody else? I mean, we want to share information like, you know, how big the fish was that we caught last week at the lake. You know, we want to share information like, you know, man, you should have seen my dog. Boy, he'd learned how to roll over last. You know, we want to tell people stuff. Now, would you not want to tell somebody else that your daughter was brought back from the dead? Yes? No? Anybody? Have any of you experienced this and not told anybody? That's what I'm asking. Anybody? Jesus says to her and to mom and dad, look, it's a very strange command. In verse 56, he says, now don't tell anyone. This is, again, one of those statements I'm going to have you ask Jesus when you get to heaven. Why in the world would he tell them not to tell anybody? I mean, the most exciting news you could ever want to share with anybody, and he says, don't tell anybody. I find that to be a very strange command on Jesus' part, but that's what he did. Don't tell anyone. I wrote in my notes, wow, that would be hard. That would be hard to follow that command. I want you to notice some things here about the Father, okay? Just a couple more thoughts. Some things about the Father. One of the things that I noticed was that the concern for his family brought him to Jesus when he normally, as a synagogue leader, wouldn't have gone to Jesus. And it also brought Jesus to his family. His concerns for his family brought Jesus, him to Jesus, and brought Jesus to them. I want you to notice three things. I think I've got this in your notes there to put in there. Notice his desperation. In verses 41 and 42, his daughter was dying. His only daughter, 12 years old, she was dying. He was desperate, guys. He was desperate. He needed something to happen. He needed something to take place in life. Not only notice his desperation, but notice his determination. He did not leave Jesus' side. Even though there was this long interruption, it was this lady, and she had to come, and Jesus had to get her called out, and she had to tell her story, and she gave her testimony, and everything was going on, and Jesus talked to her. He said, okay, your faith's made. Through this whole process, Jairus never leaves Jesus. So not only is his desperation, but his determination. He stayed right with him through that whole thing. And then notice his dedication. The father's dedication to his daughter, to his family. You see, in verse number 50, it says he was amazed. He was amazed. I'm sorry, down in verse 56. And so it says the girl's parents were amazed. But if you look in verse number 50, he was right there. And Jesus was with him. And Jesus said to him, don't be afraid, just believe, and your daughter will be well. Well, apparently he wasn't afraid. Apparently he did believe. And he was amazed, in verse number 56, Jesus raised her from the dead. So in the end, there's this balance of beliefs. This lady's belief in just touching the hem of his garment would heal her, and it did so. And then there's this belief of a father, the belief of a dad who's desperate, a belief that if he could just get Jesus to his daughter, if he could just get her in his home, if he could just get him there, then he could fix the problem. So the balance of belief in both these stories is that Jesus solved the problem. I want to share with you, just to close this thing out here, and then the praise team is going to close. I want you to notice some similarities and some differences that are in these stories. And these aren't in your notes. You want to jot them down, it's fine. I couldn't get this story out of my mind. And so I began to think about this. Some similarities and differences. Number one, did you notice that the lady was 12 years into this disease, 12 years, and the little girl was 12 years old? They're both were sick. The lady had been sick for 12 years. The little girl was sick, I guess, apparently, you know, long enough to know that Jairus knew she was dying. So she was sick. The lady's was ongoing. The girl's was sudden. I thought this was interesting. Similarly, both of them were solved on the same day. I thought that was pretty cool. 12 years into it, and he solved both of them on the same day. They were both resolved by faith. That's what's evident in both of these stories. The lady's faith and the father's faith. So both were resolved by faith. I found this as an interesting contrast. The dad was openly seeking help. I mean, he was bold. He was, you know, getting Jesus' attention and in front of this whole crowd, and he wasn't ashamed of any. It was open. But the lady, she was privately seeking help. She didn't want to make her story known. She didn't want to make a big deal out of it. And the lady's healing then was made public. And then on the other, the little girl, Jesus put everybody out and made it private. And then Jesus, of course, was the answer to both their problems. So I find some interesting similarities and contrasts in this story. And I don't know the answer to why all of them. That one about the public-private thing, just that messes with my mind. I don't know why Jesus turned that all around. But folks, I do know this. The thing that I've gotten out of this and I've held on to is this idea of don't be afraid. Just believe and all will be well. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're in the midst of. I don't know maybe what's coming up in your life. I don't know if you see it already or if it's just something out there and you just don't know yet. But Jesus said, guys, listen, don't be afraid. And that's the hardest one for us to overcome. Don't be afraid. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I don't know how much it's going to cost me. I don't know where I'm going to move. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm afraid. But what I really find comforting about this, although this took place several thousand years ago, Jesus is the one that said that. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just believe, and it'll be well. So I encourage you with that this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for what you do for us in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us and taking care of us and leading us through problems and situations. And Lord, we don't always know what's going to happen. Jairus didn't know his daughter was going to die. She was sick and he needed help. The lady didn't know. Whenever it started 12, she didn't know it was going to last 12 years. Lord, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know car wreck, sickness, illness, finances, family, relations. Lord, we don't know. And so help us to not be afraid, but just believe. Help us to believe that you are in control. You can fix, you can resolve, you can take care of, you can change. Lord, help us to just believe. Just believe. And I hear those words coming from your mouth as if it was just said by you just a few minutes ago. Lord, help us to take comfort in the fact that you said that. Just believe. Just believe. I pray that you would bless this church, bless these families, everyone that's here this morning. Lord, I don't know what they're going through, what they're facing, or what they're dealing with, but I pray that you would help them. In every area and every aspect of their life, and we pray this in your precious name. Amen. Amen.